The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
We'll get to more on Giannis and the Bucks coming up in a little bit, but I feel we have spent a lot of time, or at least I have this week, so maybe this is just an exercise for myself, and this is just selfish by me, but we have spent a lot of time kind of looking at the Chicago Bears and going, oh, okay, they get all these turnovers, oh man, they can run the football. But at the same time, it's not like the Bears are this, while they do lead the NFC, and I don't want to take away the fact that they have had a really good season to this point. But there are still some smoke and mirrors. Like, I think the Packers are going to be able to move the football against this team, no matter how they decide to do it. They're running the ball better. They're throwing the ball better over the last couple of games with Jordan Love. And this is a defense that, yeah, they find ways to create turnovers. But can you imagine, Chu, playing on a team that's number one in takeaways, but 25th in points
against?
No,
I get it, Gabe, but why are you discounting common opponent, especially when it happened 2 weeks ago? I seriously look at, because Philadelphia held Green Bay to 7 points, and they didn't do crap on off at home.
Yep.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bears pretty much sent Philly a telegram and said, we are going to run the ball against you.
Yep.
To the tune of 260 yards.
Mm-hmm.
And really, in Philly, which is probably top three toughest places to play in the NFL, and kick the crap out of them. That's where I kind of throw numbers out the window.
This team gave up 42 points to Joe Flacco. Again, that was the same time span in terms of being how far ago it was.
Well, then how do you explain the Philly game?
Oh, it's easy. Philly's in a down spiral. I look at that more on Philly.
They beat the Packers the week before.
No, it wasn't the week before.
How many weeks before was
3 weeks before.
Okay.
November 10th was 3 games ago.
I just... I what I get is the feeling that people think this game is going to be a walk.
I don't think it's going to be a walk. Again, would you open up your ears and listen?
I'm trying.
Once?
What'd you put down for the score?
I haven't done anything yet.
I already did.
I wanted to see injury reports. I wanted to see who's available before I started making a game pick.
I believe I said 28-17 Green Bay. But I don't feel confident about
you're
it.
You're the one who's saying it's a walk.
It's a point win.
You're the one saying it's a walk.
Two-score game.
What are we doing?
I don't know. I don't feel it. And you know what? I feel it's not so much this game. It's the game in Chicago. Because you don't think they're going to split. I think they're going to split.
I think there's a real chance.
And I think this season will come down to the Baltimore game. I think they beat them in Lambeau. I think they lose to Denver.
I mean, if the Packers want to win the division, like, splitting puts you behind the eight ball.
No, it does, which makes Baltimore game huge because Baltimore is playing Pittsburgh. They're going to be in the lead in their division. They're going to come into Lambeau.
If you split, you have to win every other game. Seriously, for the Packers to, if the Packers want to win the division, they can only lose one more time the rest of the way.
One more time?
Yeah.
I don't think that happens. Why do you say that, though? You think the Bears come back?
The clock is running out in the season. That's why.
Yeah.
No, I know, but they're only one game down.
So let's say the Packers win this game, and then they split, and then they lose to Chicago. There's two games left, and you are trailing them in the division standings.
I know. That's why I said it comes down to Baltimore. Because I think Chicago's got some losses in there, too. They still... Well, obviously, they have to play the Packers twice, but I think they got to play Detroit again.
They have the Niners and Lions to close it out.
Yes.
Between the Packers games, they have the Browns.
Correct.
They can lose that Browns game.
They could. I don't think they will, but I think you can lose. Gabe thinks one. I still think you can lose two and win the division.
You can't lose twice and win the division. Because again, you just start doing the math. So if you lose two more times, you finish 11-5.
I'm gonna hop in the playoff simulator. I'll be right back.
All
right.
Okay, but if you lose two more times, you're 11-5. The Bears are already at 9 wins. So if you lose one of those games to the Bears, they're at 10 wins. And if they win two more games,
so do you feel confident about them just losing one game?
No, I don't.
Yeah.
But I don't think you feel confident about anybody losing just one game over a 5-week stretch in the NFL.
I would agree.
That's part of the problem.
Is Detroit dead to you as far as the division?
Yes, I think they are.
Even if they win the night?
Yeah. I mean, the only way they can stay alive in the division is by winning out. They win out, they get to 12 wins.
Okay.
If the Packers go 4-1, they're at 12 wins, keeping them ahead of Detroit.
I don't feel great about just losing one game. I don't.
I think it's going to take 12 wins. I think you need to get to 12 wins to win the division.
Okay.
And you have to go 4-1 in your last five to get to 12 wins.
So if they lose twice, lose a division, where you think they're going? Back to Chicago?
Philly? I guess Philly would be a real possibility.
I don't want to
go to
Philly.
I don't think they would be the five
seed.
Going
to Chicago in the playoffs really doesn't bother me.
Again, win the division. You have to go out there. You've got to play your best football. You can't split against Chicago. You beat Chicago both times. I feel great about your chance of winning the division.
All right. You made me a little more nervous.
Again, because you just, and that's the game I always play in my head when we're getting down to the line. Like, okay, this is what you have to do. If you go 5-1, okay, if the Packers go 4-1 over their final five, do we think 12-4 is
good
enough? All right,
let me ask you this. If you're so confident about this game, why haven't you put your score in yet?
I'm not confident about this game.
Well, you're projecting like you are.
No, I'm just telling you that if they want to win the division, this is what they have to do. I'm not saying they're going to do it.
Without Devontae Wyatt, whose defensive line is better, Philly or Green Bay?
Still Green Bay. Philly's is a mess, man.
No, I mean, they still got, who's the dude inside? He's a beast.
Yeah, they do.
And the guy they picked up from, I mean, he's no Micah Parsons, but the guy he got from Miami was a good addition.
The Eagles this year are, again, they're one of these anomalies, where they're 9th in points against, 25th in yards.
Okay.
So I set up a scenario here in the playoff simulator.
Oh, okay.
Packers losing two games. If they lose two games and Detroit holds serve and wins the games you would expect them to, Detroit wins the division. And Chicago is out. That's if the Packers lose two games. So the Packers would finish 11-5-1.
Yep.
Detroit would be around the 11-5. I could pick their game. And then the Bears would be 11-6.
Is that game tonight in Dallas or Detroit?
Dallas.
Ooh.
Yeah. So there's plenty of scenarios here where if the Packers want the North, you got one game to drop.
Really?
Yeah. And that's just going off of who's likely to be favored and them winning those games, which certainly isn't going to happen across the board.
I stand corrected. It's in Detroit.
Okay. Who would you pick to win that game?
I think Detroit wins.
Is Amon St. Brown out?
Questionable.
So he'll play.
He's questionable. Penei Sewell is questionable. Taylor Decker is questionable. They're dealing with a lot of stuff right now.
There is a scenario if the Lions lose to the Rams where the Packers could still have two losses and win the division, but they would need a little help there with the both teams being at least 11-6 and the Packers losing two games.
Okay. We just got to see how real the Bears are.
And that's the tie being the breaker there.
Yeah.
And being
again, if you get to the same number of wins as someone,
yes,
you win the tiebreaker because your winning percentage is going to be better with one last loss.
Huh. But there's a real situation: all three teams have 11 wins,
and the Packers would win the division in that scenario.
Yeah.
How with the tie though?
Because they'd be 11-5-1.
Yes,
and the other two teams would be 11-6.
Oh, 11-6. And okay.
Yeah, the six is where they would lose it.
Gotcha.
Yes,
and that 11-6 for all of them, and 11-5-1. Is not that crazy of a scenario. Those are all, they're all games you would think, yeah, they could win this game. They'd probably win this game.
Ryan and McGuango are saying, Denver's going to be the second easiest game ahead of Minnesota. Why do we keep saying it's a loss?
Huh?
Have you paid attention to Denver?
Also, do you know where that game is?
Yeah. Tough place to play against a good defense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I understand you don't want to believe in Bo Nix, but Bo Nix turns out light years ahead of J.J. McCarthy.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm as big of a Bo Nix denier as you could find.
He ain't J.J., man. He's
not very good.
No.
But there's enough talent on that defense.
J.J., I feel like we still cannot emphasize this enough. J.J. is historically bad.
Yes.
Historically bad.
Yeah, it's very easy to describe it. The only quarterback who has the requisite amount of attempts, I believe it's like 150-plus, in the history of the sport since 2000, that's worse than J.J. McCarthy is right now, it's Jamarcus Russell. A man who had substance abuse issues.
Yeah.
And fizzled out of the league really, really fast.
Yes. That's bad.
Can JJ improve drastically? Certainly.
No, they move on.
But right now, he is that bad.
Yes.
And somehow, Brosmer was worse in one try.
That's on them, though.
They were high. I mean, all the reports coming out of Minnesota is how much they love Brosmer.
Vikings have two top five worst quarterback performances of the year. It's J.J. earlier in the season and Brosmer last week.
Yeah. And again, no matter how much you don't like Bo Nix, his name not on that list. We get to the top eight. Coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But if you feel like you're running on empty, mentality is here to help. Maybe you're dealing with low testosterone. Maybe you're just not aware of it. Low energy, motivation, fatigue, you're tired all the time. Weight gain or muscle loss, especially belly fat. You feel anxious, moody, irritable. Sometimes you just think, well, getting older, this is how it is. That's not how it has to be, though. Especially if you work with Mentality, a local healthcare facility specializing in helping men feel and perform at their very best by looking at free testosterone levels, which can get overlooked by a lot of doctors. So they ensure then your treatment is tailored to your body. If you start working with Mentality, your energy can come roaring back like it has for me. The belly fat burns off, your muscle strengthens, and you feel like yourself again. Probably the most important part. You're just confident, driven, ready to tackle life. So don't let low testosterone hold you back, not just for you, but for your family as well. Just go to the website, mentalityhealth.com/radio, mentalityhealth.com/radio, and book an appointment today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
You called them a white stiff
someone else.
Earlier.
From one white stiff to another. I'm pretty well versed in the realm of stiffs.
On 94.5 ESPN.
From the biggest plays on the court to the comments made in the locker room after, an in-depth recap of every Bucks game in 6 minutes, no more, no less. Bucks in Six in the Bucks Plus Audio Network. If you missed any of the game or just want to relive the biggest moments, Bucks in Six provides game recaps every morning after. Hear the high-flying dunks from Giannis, the great blocks from Miles Turner. Catch the comments post-game about what happened on the court. Bucks in Six on the Bucks Plus Audio Network. Find it now at bucks.com/plus or on Spotify, Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The top 8 at 8.
Name something that follows the word pork.
You fine.
Huh? One category.
Name something people take with them to the beach.
Turkey?
The top 8 answers.
The first thing you buy in a supermarket.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8.
A food often stuffed.
Turkey.
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Name Popeye's favorite food.
Chicken!
Oh my god!
Show me chicken!
The top 8 at 8 on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
We had some fun with something similar a couple of weeks ago with the Minnesota Vikings, so run it back, except with the Chicago Bears, and a slight tweak. List of 8 things in front of me. Chewy and Josh will guess back and forth. Once they each get one incorrect, then we open it up to the fans, 800-990-3776. Whoever gets the last one on the list wins an ESPN Milwaukee prize pack. Since 1992, I am looking for the top 8 touchdowns receptions against the Chicago Bears for the Green Bay Packers. It's the top 8 guys who have the most touchdowns, touchdown receptions since 92 against the Bears.
Okay. Let's go with my buddy Hulu Duck.
Hulu Duck is number 3 on the list. 8 touchdowns in his career against the Chicago Bears. That is Antonio Freeman for those of you playing the home game.
Go ahead.
Devontae Adams
is number 1 with 10.
Yeah.
Let's go. Let's go. Randall Cobb. No, let's not.
Let's go with Gordy.
Jordy Nelson, tied with Antonio Freeman. He also has 8 touchdown receptions against the Chicago Bears.
I am going to go Greg Jennings.
It's number 8 on the list. Woo! 5 touchdown receptions against the Chicago Bears.
I'm trying to think how many I had.
I was going to say, how many you had?
I had 2 in one game, and then I had another on a jump ball to the corner. I don't think I got there. I think I only had 3.
You're correct. Chewy had 3.
Yeah. Let's go.
I mean, was I hoping when I did this that he would be on the list? Yes. And then was I hoping he would forget? Yeah, but when it comes to Chewie's career, that's the one thing he's got constantly on lockdown.
Except for one. I don't ever remember catching a touchdown from Ty Detmer in Minnesota. I swear to God. I'm like, I can't even think of the play. I didn't even know Ty played. I know TJ Rubley played.
Well, he played before. He got knocked out before TJ came
in. Did he really?
Yeah.
I had no idea. TJ Rubley sucked. I had to fight away a Y stick from a guy because he threw it right to the linebacker and wrestled the ball. I'm like, what are you doing?
TJ Rubley, quarterback sneak, fumbling
hot pot. Let's go with JerMichael, my buddy.
J Mike had 4, which is just outside the top.
Okay.
8.
I'm gonna go double D.
Donald Driver.
Oh no.
Only had 3.
Wow.
Oh.
Along with Chewy. So we open up to the fans. 800-990-3776. Since 1992, the top Packers pass catching touchdowns. Top Packers in receiving touchdowns against the Chicago Bears since 1992. We do have number 1, Davante Adams. Number 3, Antonio Freeman. Number 4, Jordy Nelson. And number 8, Greg Jennings.
We probably talked about one of these guys earlier, didn't we?
We did, yep.
Uh-huh. I thought so.
Chewy may have stumbled over another name.
Yeah.
Decided not to make it a guess.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know what you're talking about.
There's a very infamous one.
Yeah.
A touchdown that I can remember.
That was a hell of a touchdown.
Yeah, it was.
Sure was.
Yeah.
Important touchdown.
In fact, probably the last time we multiple shows have talked about it this week, how that was
really?
The last important Packers-Bears game.
Go back and look at how dumb Alonzo Spellman was, how he covered me on my route because I was so in his head. It's hilarious.
How are you in his head?
It wasn't very hard.
800-990-3776.
We'll watch the play during the break and you'll laugh.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, DNs are supposed to rush the quarterback, right?
I believe so.
This was not a fire zone. It's hilarious.
What's he doing covering you? 800-990-3776. Since 1992, top Packers touchdowns receptions against the Chicago Bears. You guys knocked out 4 of them with Devontae, with Antonio Freeman, Jordy Nelson, and Greg Jennings. We are looking for the other 4. 800-990-3776.
Yeah. Hello. You know
what
the signal
was
right here.
What year was that?
94 or 95.
Okay. Was it your Pro Bowl year? Pro Bowl year was 95. It's the year where you really took
No, it wasn't. It was the year after because I remember I got hurt at the end of the game. I sprained my ankle really. No, I don't think that was the game. Must have been the year after. No, or a year before. I don't know. I'm confused.
All right. We'll try to figure it out, and we'll see if Spellman can do that. We've been having some issues with the phone lines. I do know that. So maybe we just punt on this. Oh, no, wait. It looks like they're working again. 800-990-3776. Since 1992, top touchdowns for Packers receivers against the Chicago Bears. Davante Adams is number 1. Antonio Freeman is 2. Freeman and Jordy were tied for 3rd. We do not have 2. And then Greg Jennings with 5 was number 8. Let's go to Brad in Whitewater. Brad, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Got Randall Cobb.
Yeah, Randall Cobb, he is number 2, 9 touchdown receptions in his career against the Chicago Bears. So now we have the top 4, Devontae, Randall Cobb, Freeman, Nelson. We have 8 at Jennings. Do you have another guess on the middle 3?
I'm kind of torn now. I don't know. I'm just going to take a guess with Aaron Jones.
Now, Aaron Jones had 4, but that puts him outside the top 8. They are all wide receivers. I will say that.
Got to go back.
Yeah, it's an, yeah. That yeah. that would be helpful. 800-990-3776.
People don't know.
Yeah. So
I mean, we gave them two answers and we've gotten one. So
I didn't think this was that hard of a list. I didn't think this would be that intimidating of a list.
Oh, I thought the other guy was still out there.
Yeah, he is.
That we
yeah.
talked about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I thought there were two out there that we talked about well, earlier.
One just went.
Well, that wasn't the guy I was thinking of.
Oh.
Well, yeah, but you had said Randall Cobb earlier and then decided not to make yes. a guess.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Confused. That's fine.
That's just the natural state of being.
Mm-hmm.
It's the natural state of being for Mark Chmura on their show.
Yeah.
800-990-3776. Here we go. Now we've got people ready to play. They're ready to go now. The since 1992, who have caught the most touchdown passes for the Packers against the Chicago Bears? Devontae's number one. Randall Cobb is two. Free and Jordy Nelson tied for third. Greg Jennings is number eight. Let's go to Dave in Oak Creek. Dave, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Hey, good morning.
How are we doing?
How about Sterling Sharp?
Yeah, Sterling. Only played six games.
Okay, that's one.
Yeah, he only played six games against the Chicago Bears in his time frame since 1992. He's on the list with six touchdown receptions. So he is number seven.
Okay.
Do you have another guess, Dave?
Yeah, how about Philip Epps?
Philip Epps? That's a little too far back.
Yeah. Since 1992.
Sorry about that.
That's all right. Yeah, we appreciate you. You
blast
knocked off
from
one.
The past. How many we got left?
Turns out, Chewy is right again. Because another guy we also talked about earlier
yes.
is on this list.
Well, that's what this is. Do they give hand signals anymore or no?
Yeah. Because Rodgers got upset when one of the receivers didn't see
ran the wrong route.
Yeah, and didn't see his hand signal. Let's go out to Nathan and Jackson. Nathan, you're on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy in the top 8 at 8.
Good morning, boys. How about Robert Brooks?
There you go.
So Robert Brooks.
Ankle-ang.
Wait, that's the one you thought?
Yes.
Okay.
You know what this is?
No. Oh, on the 99-yarder.
Yeah. What's this?
I don't know what that means.
Josh.
Hard to forget that one.
Sluggo.
Oh, yeah. Slant go. Okay, do you have the last one, Nathan?
I don't, but I'm going to guess James Jones.
James Jones
nice!
Is the correct answer with seven
That's
touchdown receptions, same as Robert Brooks.
Would have been better if I was on it, but that was a very good list.
Wait, we didn't talk about Robert Brooks earlier today.
I thought we did.
No, we talked about James Jones earlier today.
I was talking in my alter ego with Jason because I was going to run through a list of comparables for Cobb, and Robert Brooks was on my list. I guess I never said it. But I did have the conversation with myself. Yes.
Okay.
It's a real thing.
I'm not doubting it's a real thing.
Okay.
Not doubting that whatsoever.
All right, let's look at that play during the break, and you're going
to
laugh.
And I'm sure I will. We'll get back to Giannis and the Bucks as well as we continue here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Bubble is a
tuna.
Dating app.
It's tuna.
I love tuna. I had some last night.
How do you eat your tuna?
Can we, for once, grow up on this show?
On 94.5 ESPN.
So the next layer of this Giannis story for the Bucks is the injury that he suffered. Because Doc brought up, I thought, a really good point. When this report broke out and then Doc had to address the media. But yeah, I mean, I said this at the beginning of the season, Chu. The easiest way to keep Giannis around is win.
Mm-hmm.
And they have not been winning. They won last night. Great win. Basically without Giannis because he got hurt so early. And they were able to beat the Detroit Pistons here in Milwaukee. Great game from A.J. Green, Ryan Rollins, Jericho Sims scored a career high, you know, in points. So it was a very much team effort after he went down. But Doc pointed this out before the game about why he believes this is happening, why these reports are coming out now.
The reason this is out is because we're not playing well. You know, when we started out the season, I heard guys said, man, they're going to be really good. You know, so let's just call a spade a spade. We're not playing well. We lost, had a tough loss the other night. And so now, this is the subject matter. It's no more true than it was this summer.
So the problem here is, though, Chu.
Yeah.
So they haven't played well. They're 9-8 when Giannis, well, I guess technically Giannis played yesterday, so they're 10-8 when Giannis plays. And they're 1-5 when he does not. Even though it seems like they avoided the catastrophe with no Achilles injury for Giannis, and it's just a calf strain, he had an MRI at some point. I'm assuming somebody's going to have more information on that today in the NBA world. But he's going to miss time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's going to miss time once again. And if part of the issue is the team's not playing well, without Giannis, they're going to continue to not play well. I don't expect them to suddenly get their record up over 500 without Giannis in the lineup. And the further this team strays from the playoff picture, the further they go down in the Eastern Conference standings, the harder it is for them, to me, to retain Giannis. So the underlying thing now, yeah, we've got all these reports out there, and Wendy's on Get Up today, and everybody's going to be talking about it everywhere, about where's Giannis going to go? Is he going to stay in Milwaukee? If you're a Bucks fan who wants him to stay here, this team needs to start playing a lot better without him, so they still have a chance. I mean, if a calf strain like that, Chew, you would know, is that going to keep him out a month?
Well, he had this before, and he was out for like a month, right?
So the last time he had the calf injury, yeah, he was probably because he ended up not playing in the postseason. Missed like the last couple weeks of the regular season, 2 weeks into the postseason. Yeah, he was about a month.
My guess is going to be a month, which is probably, what, 12 to 15 games?
Something like that.
Probably going to lose a handful of them, push them farther down the standings. But what drives me nuts about what Doc Rivers is saying is this is so fixable. Tell John Horst to go tell the media these reports are false. His agent is not coming in here. I don't know where they're getting this information. It can either be him or Giannis. It's not very difficult. Okay? That's why we're cynical about this. Fix it. Fix it. Then have the person who's supposed to have the meeting come out and say this is completely false. And then it's a moot issue. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, do you think there's any part of them that like these games being played? Because to me, it sounds like...
Yeah, and again, I think that's where Bucks fans are getting frustrated, too. I think there are a lot of Bucks fans who are with you.
Like, would the media just go to them, is the agent coming in? What's he going to say? Is the agent coming in?
I don't think you would want to ask the question that way. Because I don't know if Alex Tsiratsis, the agent for Giannis would come in. I don't know if he would come in and have those conversations or if that would be a phone call. So you have to be careful with the wording because, he's not coming in. But because it's a phone call, right? He could say, no, he's not coming in because it's a phone call.
Well, then don't play games. You know what I mean? I wonder why people have trust issues with professional sports today.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Shoot us straight. You think they think we're dumb?
Yes.
Like in Green Bay, there's an element of they think we're dumb. Dude, yeah, let me tell you what. I know what you're doing. I've been there. I know the moves. What do you think? We're stupid?
I don't think they think we're dumb. I think they know if they get their story out, which one their fans are more likely to believe.
Because again, as we pointed out, as often as these stories come out, Giannis is still here.
Yes.
Sure.
And you can find ways around the truth that makes it seem not like, because basically, if you only listen to what Doc said, there's nothing here. Everybody's talking about nothing. I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah.
I think there's a little more to it than nobody. I don't know what you guys are talking. I talked to the guy. He never says, I want to be traded. He's never shown unhappiness. We don't get here without something there.
And whether that's just a conversation of, because the one asset that the Bucks did have this offseason that we thought that they would spend before they did the unthinkable of waiving Dame, stretching the contract, and then going and signing Miles Turner, they do have access to their own first-round pick. I think it's in 2031. So they've got access to that, and they could trade that. So I don't know if that's the agent checking in going, hey, I mean, taking a look at this roster, I don't know if it's good enough to compete for a championship. What can you do with that first-round pick or any other asset you might have in the roster to potentially improve it? And that literally, that's all the conversation could have been, and then it spirals out of control from there.
I don't know. I thought these conversations took place in the off season. So what the hell are we reliving them then for now? Just because they're losing?
I don't know if it's reliving them or as, you know, again, there could have been a conversation between Giannis and the Bucks, and the Bucks saying, hey, we're going to do everything we can to win and keep you here.
I mean, this would be totally irresponsible of whoever's reporting on this to be throwing stuff against the wall. Right?
Yeah. And again, we know where Shams is getting this information because Shams put the name in the tweet in the initial report yesterday. He is getting this from Giannis's agent.
Okay.
Because how many times have you seen Shefty or Shams or Jeff Passan on the baseball side throw out a tweet that specifically lists an agent?
Yeah.
So I think it's pretty clear to me who that information is coming from. And maybe, it's certainly possible, the agent is embellishing some of the information that he gives Shams Charania.
Yes.
I think that's certainly possible. Again, because as Joshy said, somebody is lying. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's Shams.
Right.
But I don't think Shams is lying. I think Shams is repeating the information that he was told.
Let me ask you this. Okay, say he stays and this is whatever. Garbage or whatever. He stays the whole season and they don't make the playoffs. What can the team do next year to improve this team? Nothing because of the Dame contract?
I mean, they would be able to potentially move some pieces if...
But nothing crazy.
Probably not, but I also thought, like, John Horst has shown time and time again, Chu, that he is creative and he can come up with stuff. Like, if you would have told me before the offseason, hey, the Bucks are going to get Miles Turner, shut up, no, they're not. You know, and then somehow they pulled that off.
But they can't do anything to where a preseason poll would say, oh, they're the fourth best team in the NBA.
Probably not. Because some of the stuff that Horst has pulled out of his hat before.
No, I know. I get it.
You know, and some of that depends upon the growth of the roster, too. Like, nobody thought Ryan Rollins was this good. And if he continues to grow as a player.
Players know, too. That's the thing. Players know.
And players have stepped up.
Like, we knew. Like, Gabe, when we go back to 92, we knew. No chance. Winning a Super Bowl, no chance.
Oh,
93,
sure.
No chance. Mm-hmm. 94, slim to none. 95, maybe. We're close, but I don't think we're there yet. Because there's still that, I think we can beat Dallas, which is not a really good mindset to go in.
Yeah.
Players aren't stupid. And then you go, you know, obviously we're good. We knew we were Super Bowl team, 96, 97. And then you go to 98 and you're like, you're back to like 94.
That Randy Moss guy's pretty good.
Slim chance. So Giannis is sitting there going, this year is our 93.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Next year might be.
But that's the thing. If the Bucks can somehow turn that first round pick and somebody else on the roster into a better player.
Yeah.
What does that do? But also, a lot of this could tell you, because the initial Shams report said, hey, there's a timeline a couple of weeks on this. They're going to know in a couple of weeks. And the reason why I think that's there is because some of the players that you signed during the offseason, you can't trade them until December 15th.
Would you rather have it done now or at the end of the season or
I would prefer for it to never happen.
Rip the Band-Aid off? No, it's going to happen, though, Gabe.
It doesn't have to.
Gabe, it's Josh.
It doesn't have to happen.
Do you want the Band-Aid ripped off or do you just want to let it bleed a little bit?
I mean, I want what's best for the Bucks in the future.
Which is what?
Somehow Giannis decides to stay forever, or we get the maximum value for him is whatever, however that is.
Okay.
If it's in season, I mean, there's no right answer here.
No. I want him to stay here for as long as possible.
Right. But the more and more this stuff keeps coming out, the more and more it feels like an inevitability.
Yeah. Yes.
And what is going to maximize his value, I don't know. Is that a trade before the deadline, or is that in the offseason?
What is it?
I think it would be a trade at the deadline.
That's what it feels like to me.
So it's Freddy Peralta.
Well, it feels like a trade at the deadline because the team would have him for this. I mean, wherever he goes, you presume he's going to sign that extension. Right. You know, he's going to sign an extension with. But I think if you trade him, if again, you have to trade him, and I'm not saying the Bucks do, but it feels like you could take advantage of somebody's desperation of, oh, man, we've got a really good team. We're so close this year. Giannis is going to put us over the top. and you could take advantage of that. And then a couple of teams feeling that way that get into a bidding war against each other, and that's how you create the maximum value for Giannis. But at the end of the day, it's also Giannis, and I think you're getting a ton of value if you ever trade him, because it's Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. All right.
Maybe you get another draft pick out of it if you do it at the deadline versus in the offseason.
Okay.
But again, now a lot of this comes down to how severe is this injury, how much time is he going to miss, and how well is the team going to play without him. That ends up factoring in big time. Because what's their record going to be when he comes back? What kind of chance do they have to be competitive in the East whenever he's back from this injury?
Does the injury push this back, though, a month?
I would think so.
Okay.
I mean, a team I don't think would have a problem trading for an injured Giannis, right?
No.
But I don't think the Bucks would be ready to go, yeah, we're going to trade him now. Okay. I think the Bucks are going to see this out to the bitter end.
I feel pretty confident in that. So you think it's going to go to February?
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think the Bucks are going to see this out to the bitter end. That I feel also very confident in.
Right.
That the Bucks aren't just going to go, yeah, we're going to trade Giannis. They're going to make him say, trade me.
So
to this point, he hasn't said that. Yeah.
Okay.
We see what we put on the polls coming up next here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. But if you're looking for the gift of basketball this holiday season, you can buy tickets to the Milwaukee Hoops Showdown coming up Friday, December 19th, featuring Wisconsin and Villanova at 7 p.m. UW-Milwaukee takes on South Dakota State at 4. Two big men's basketball games, one electric night, all under one roof. Just check out the tickets, FiserForum.com/showdown, or be Caller 5 right now. Caller 5 wins two tickets to watch the Hoops action Friday, December 19th. Caller 5 at 800-990-3776 for the Milwaukee Hoops Showdown featuring Wisconsin and Villanova.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Look, you take
Jesus and the presents out, and it's not even in the top 10.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you take sex out of the anniversary, then that's not that fun either.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Joshy put it on the poll earlier today when we were talking about Giannis and the drama that is surrounding the Milwaukee Bucks, our Infinity Exteriors poll of the day. Are you fed up with the Giannis drama? Turns out, Chewy, people are.
Yeah.
85%.
Ooh, wow. A little bigger than I thought.
Well, again, but I think, that what makes that question, I think everybody's sick of it. Whether you think it's Shams making stuff up, whether you think it's Giannis dragging his feet, I think everybody's just sick of it. No matter what you think is the truth of the situation that we've been dealing with over the last 24 hours, I think everybody's just sick of it.
But I think if it's going to happen, would people want the battery, the Band-Aid ripped off? Maybe we'll hit that tomorrow.
Willie and Tausch coming up next.